Morning's message is entitled Reaching Our God-Given Potentials. How many of you know that we all have God-given potentials? You know, it's called in the Bible sanctification, which means, you know, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we grow on from there, or as I said, not go on, but grow on from there to become Christ-like. More and more like Christ every day. But with that said, let's read our scripture this morning. Galatians, well, it's on the board, so I'll just go ahead and read it. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that is opposite of what our sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. How many of you struggle to do good sometimes? Yeah, there's a couple of you. Yeah, I think it's part of our human battle, as we just read, that our sinful nature wants to, you know, our natural selves want to do evil, and it's in opposition to what the Holy Spirit wants. If we've committed our lives to Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and that Holy Spirit wants us to conform to the good things. Not the evil desires of our sinful nature. You know, if we've struggled with our sinful nature, so does everyone else. And it's an old, it's as old as the New Testament itself. Listen to what Paul says about the battle that's going on inside of him. From Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 20. He writes, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin that is living in me. For I know that the good in itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that is living in me that does it." As I said, you know, this is as old as the New Testament. If Paul, Super Paul the Apostle, the super disciple, struggles to do what is good, how many of you know we are too? We just are. That's part of our makeup. You know, I remember reading this story, and it kind of goes like this, about a guy who prayed. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, I haven't sinned today. I haven't said a bad word to anyone today. I haven't thought about any bad about anything anybody today. I have done everything perfect today. Lord, in just a second I'm gonna get out of bed, and when I do, I'm gonna need some help." That's the point. We need to take God with us throughout the day. That's important, because on our own we're going to be living out a life that does what our sinful nature wants us to do, not what the Spirit wants us to do. So we bring the Holy Spirit with us throughout the day. You know, basically we're a holiness church. We come out of a tradition, the Methodist heritage, where John Wesley was concerned about personal and social holiness. You know, he believed that most important thing in life was to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. So that's where our holiness background comes from. Listen to what Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. He writes this, "And consider, or let us consider, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So Paul is saying is that it's important for Christians to meet together to encourage one another. Folks, that's what we're doing here at church today. Besides worshiping God and having fellowship with each other, we're encouraging one another. And that's important, and it's very biblical. You know, Christian community is a place where we can hold each other accountable and encourage one another. And John Wesley knew that. And he started small groups called class meetings, dividing his churches up into groups of 12 or so. And they meet once a week to hold each other accountable. And I know I've taught this before, but I think it's so important. What they met, and they've asked each other questions like, "What sin have you committed since we've last met?" Wow, who wants to be first? Not none of us in here. That's why it can be done in a small group, but not in a large setting. Questions like, "Have you done anything that you're not sure is sin? We'll decide for you." Or questions like this. "Is there any sin that you're keeping secret from us?" Wow. That's being really serious about your faith and being really serious about holiness, isn't it? And we should, at some level, do that, whether it's with a prayer partner, you know, someone that we can pray with regularly, confide in, maybe a spouse. But that's important that we hold ourselves accountable to other Christians in order to grow. You know, we need folks in our lives, people in our lives, to help us reach our God-given potentials. We just simply do. And we need folks in our lives to help us keep our pledges. And I've listed five pledges that are biblical, that I believe that are New Testament teachings that we need to keep. And the reason I say they're biblical, how many of you know that if I just made these up, they wouldn't be good? Right? I can't just make this stuff up. It's got to be biblical in order for us to follow. And the first thing is, if you're following along in the notes, is to pray for the church and each other. We need to be praying for the church, the church, the worldwide church, this church, and for each and every one of us that are in this church. We need to do that daily. That is so important. James writes this in 5:16 of the NRSV version. It says, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." Did you hear that? Prayer is so important, and we need to practice praying for each other in the church daily. The second thing is to be intentional to participate actively. You know, get involved in the church. Get involved in the ministries of the church. You know, it's so important. And be active about it. And be intentional about it. And just do it. The second thing is, listen to me, and just do it. Right? Isn't that somebody's slogan somewhere? Just do it. Is it? Yeah. Well, we have to just do it. And just be growing in sanctification and growing closer to the Lord all the time. The third thing is to give generously. Give generously. In Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparsely will reap sparsely. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." Folks, God has given us as a church body all the time, the talents, and treasure to make this church operate and go beyond that. The fourth thing is to serve sacrificially. serve sacrificially. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, the NIV says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And the fifth thing is be invitational. Now, this one is really important. Invite people to church. Jesus said to two of his disciples, when they asked him where he was going, he simply said, come and see. Tell people to come and see what to do on Sunday mornings. And be invitational. Invite them to church. You know, I love this. There's a book by Francis Chan named Multiply. And the premise of that book is this: to find somebody to tell about Jesus and then be their mentor. Could you imagine if everyone did that, that Christianity could grow by 100%? Something to think about. Find someone to be a mentor to, and find someone to be a mentor for you. You know, find your prayer partner, someone that you can confide in. You know, these are biblical teachings that I believe that are paramount to being New Testament believers. That these are things that we must do to be connected to our church and to a worldwide church community. So remember, we need each other. We could join a Bible study. We could join the UMW. We could have a men's group. We could find a prayer partner. We could be a mentor. We could be a mentor. You know, God expects us to continue to grow to be Christ-like. You know, there's certain things we can do in community, and there's certain things that we have to do by ourselves. You know, the goal is this: is to change the way we think. Folks, we have just said that we have our human nature and we have a sinful nature, right? The sinful nature, our human nature, is what the world has. The world, the unbelieving world that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. The moment we became believers in Jesus Christ, we have a Holy Spirit living in us that opposes our sinful nature. So we have help. We can become the men and women that God hopes that we will become, that we will become all that He has purposed us to be. So the goal is to change the way we think. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But folks, we're controlled by the Spirit. And what did it say? It says that it leads to life and peace. You see, God doesn't leave us in that place. But through faith in Jesus Christ and through walking in the Spirit. Well, listen to what Paul writes also in Romans 8. He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if you, through the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Folks, we're children of God. God rescues us from that power of sin and death through the Spirit. So what can we do? Well, we can follow the leadings of the Spirit and not our sinful natures. Listen to what James writes also in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. resist the devil. Now, is that something we say in this century, that there's a devil? Yeah, of course there is. You know, our scientific age and mindset, the devil would love us to say that there's no such thing as a devil. That's just superstition. Well, the Bible begs to differ, doesn't it? The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Folks, that's our battle. It's our sinful nature, and it's the temptation from the devil. And those two oppose God the Holy Spirit because they're contrary to each other. But notice the scripture says resist. You know, we have a free will, so we must resist. Folks, being tempted is not sin. It's acting on our temptation that's the sin. I've once heard it says that it takes 28 days to develop a new habit. That's probably an average. It may take some people a lot longer or a lot less. But I can tell you this, it takes a lot longer than 28 days to break a bad habit, doesn't it? It does. Some bad habits take a lifetime of struggle to overcome. Folks, what we have to do is change our bad habits into good habits, into spiritual disciplines that can change us, that can change the way we think. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us. In Galatians 5:16, Paul says it this way: so I say, let the Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It's a choice. We make a choice to listen to the Holy Spirit and not our sinful natures. And listen, and again what James said, to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So continue to draw near to God. And you can do that by Bible reading and prayer. Make him the most important part of your life. You know, if Paul struggles to do what is good, how much more will we? But we have that special kind of help from other Christians, and we have that special help from the Holy Spirit. But in order to form a new set of spiritual disciplines or habits, We need to do some things in our life, make some changes. So, in the first thing is, if you're following along in your notes, is we have to have a fresh mindset. And a fresh mindset is simply a fresh attitude. To have an attitude like Jesus had. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus Christ himself left heaven, left his position of divine privileges to come down to earth to save us from what? From going to hell, right? He came down to not be served, but to be a servant. And he asked us to be a servant as well. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Did you hear that? Putting others before ourselves. That's contrary to the world, isn't it? What does the world say? Do unto others before they do it unto you? The world says, those who have the most toys win. Well, it's not so hard to figure out why the world thinks that way, because the world does not have the Holy Spirit. The world is following after its sinful, natural desires, not the desires of God the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be servants. He wants us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And if we're going to have His mind as our mind, we're going to have to follow not after the cravings of what? Our sinful nature, but after God's desire for us. So it starts with a fresh mindset, and that's having an attitude like Jesus. It's an attitude that can change our lives, not only for here in this present life, but also through eternity. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:8. He writes, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come." Folks, we've got to start thinking like God. Thinking like God requires that we think long term. Not short term, but long term. The second thing is this. It takes a fresh approach toward things. It takes a fresh approach. Being thankful instead of negative, praising instead of complaining. How many of you ever known anybody that complained about everything? Yeah, one or two of you. Probably more than that. Complaining about stuff, doesn't it drag you down? Come on, be honest about it. Being around someone that just drags you down. Now, how many of you have ever been around somebody that doesn't complain, but is positive about things? Not negative, but positive. Don't they bring you up? Think about your own life. When you're negative, you're bringing people down. But when you're positive, you can bring them up. What if somebody would say something like, "Sharon, you look really great today. You dressed very nice. And how does that make you feel, Sharon? It makes you feel good, doesn't it?"
Embarrassing.
Well, I'm sorry, Bob's not here. I shouldn't have said that with Bob not being here. But you know what I mean. You know, it makes you feel good when people are positive, praising instead of complaining. You know, listen to what Scripture says about that in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's a fresh approach to life. But our human nature wants to drag us down. We have to stay with God, thinking about God things, not what our human nature does. We offer praise instead of complaining. How about this? Starting out your day with this prayer: "I believe in you, God, that you can change me, and you believe in me." You know, just offering up simple prayers like that. That's a fresh approach. Not just letting something happen, but making something happen. Being positive instead of negative. The third thing is fresh communication. Now, fresh communication is just simply prayer with God. Maybe it requires that you journal, write down your thoughts. Maybe it's praying every morning before you get out of bed. But remember in the Bible, Jesus, in the morning, he got away from things and he went off to be by himself, and he prayed to his Father in heaven. And I got to think that wasn't just a morning prayer, but it was an all-day prayer. And that it was an ongoing prayer throughout his earthly walk. So we need to have ongoing conversations with God as well. Spiritual disciplines like these can change our lives. If we're stuck and we're not growing to be more and more like Jesus, stop what you're doing and do something different. Do something different. It's as simple as that. If what you're doing is not effective, if it's not profiting and making you out to be the person that God purposes you to be, do something different. He wants, it takes a fresh mindset, it takes a fresh approach toward things, and it takes fresh communication with God. You know, there are some things that we can do by ourselves, that we have to do by ourselves. And one of those things is so basic, and that's being in God's Word. At Bayshore this year, I learned a new way to read the Bible in a year. It's changing the way I read the Bible, and I love it. I used to read the Bible for the year, going through the back of my Bible. It says to read so much of the Old Testament, then go to the New Testament. Well, this new way that I learned about, it's very easy. It's just read four chapters each day in the morning, or any time that you have convenient for you during the day, during the week, and on Sundays read two chapters. To read four chapters only takes about 15-20 minutes. It's a simple thing we can do, and it draws us closer to God and keeps them on our minds throughout the day. So those are some things that we have to do by ourselves, because we also need Christian community. We need Christian community to help cheer us on, to spur us toward love and good deeds. We join a small group, and our small group is starting up again shortly. We could be part of the United Methodist Women, Sunday School, Men's Group. We can find a prayer partner, someone that we can confide in. We can be a mentor to someone, or have someone be a mentor to us. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to share in your word, that we may come to be more and more like Jesus every day. Help us to cast out our sinful desires from our natural selves, and help us to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, who is teaching us to do long-term God things. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.